Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us for the weekly Worcester Nazarene podcast, a conversation with our pastors and leaders to help us along our journey of loving God, loving people, and living transformed.
Welcome, everyone, to the Worcester Naz podcast. I'm Pastor Sheldon, and with me today is Pastor Colton.
Hello.
I just wanted to introduce Pastor Colton to everybody. He is our Route 56 pastor. He hangs out with fifth and sixth graders, and he is our second youngest pastor on staff.
You guys have
already heard from Pastor Aubrey, so I wanted you all to meet Colton. He is going on, 30 hours of being awake or so?
Roughly about that, yeah. No, not quite that.
Yeah.
No.
You work a full-time job.
I do work a full-time job outside of here.
And you run night shift.
I do run night shift. I do medical linen delivery, so drive up to Toledo each night. It's a great time. Try not to fall asleep, and we're golden.
Your main ministry hours are on Sunday morning.
And they are.
You used to help out with our teenage ministry in the evening. Mm-hmm. And since you moved to nights, that's been tough. But today we had Staff Summit.
We did.
And you were able to jump right in on all that. And coming out of Staff Summit, we're like, let's record this podcast.
Hey, it's a good time. I'm here. Might as well not make two trips. Save the gas money.
So Colton's on no sleep.
Oh, yeah.
I'm getting over the bubonic plague or whatever I've had for the last week.
We're hacking up along. We are in shambles.
Yes, so if there's some raspiness to my voice, I did not take up smoking. I am just here to talk about Jesus.
Hey, that's all we need. There we go.
So Pastor Colton is on the ordination track.
I am.
In our Nazarene denomination. Just tell me a little bit where you're at in your course of study and when you started that. So
yeah, so I started those classes in the year 2022. I had felt called when I was in eighth grade at a summer camp. And I was like, yeah, but what kid isn't called to ministry at eighth grade summer camp? And so I was like, you know what? It's kind of like ministry nursing. And so I went for nursing school, dropped out of that. It wasn't like dropping out. It was more like they probably wouldn't invite me back because I was like sleeping in the Taco Bell parking lot. So
I need to hear more about this sometime.
Yes. I just go there for lunch and then I'd be like, I'm going to eat and then sleep in the parking lot. No, that's pretty standard. Yeah. Pretty much the story. But 2022, you know, life kind of came crumbling down for me. And I was like, man, I like came talk to the pastors here. And each of them was just like, you know, in my darkest time, they're like, so how are you feeling on ministry? And I was like, what is wrong with you? Why would you ask me that at a time like this? But just knowing that, you know, they hadn't given up on me. They still remembered right. That calling I had, you know, years earlier. And yet I had talked about it here and then, but never really gave it much more thought because it wasn't what my agenda was. You know, I wanted to make all sorts of money, you know, all the things. And this really came to a place of, you know, submission to God, you know, had to really just give it all up for him. And I was like, well, I keep, you know, praying for a calling and, you know, I didn't want the one you gave me. So, kept chasing something. And finally I was like, I'm going to give it all to you, God. So 2022, I started that. So this will be my fourth year of classes. I've done 12 so far. I got my district license in 2024. So about a year and a half into that now. So we're well on our way. We're getting there.
Yeah, and for those of you that don't know the path to ministry and all of that, the district license is a huge step. You go through quite a long assessment, and they look at you for a couple days and ask you a bunch of questions, look into your life. You fill out a packet of papers like this thing. And Colton is a guy that is genuine, is real, as you can tell so far. I mean, he's just exactly what you see. And just exudes Jesus everywhere you go. And so throughout the district licensing process, I imagine it's been very encouraging.
It has been, yes. Okay. Yeah, very encouraging. And I appreciate those words. It wasn't always like that. So God's brought me a long way, definitely.
Right. But I remember you going through some of those tough times. And
yeah.
Jesus was still what was holding you together.
Oh, yeah.
He was the one that put the call in your life. And he's put things in order in ways that you couldn't see before, but now looks really clear.
Oh, yeah.
And So Colton is district licensed, which means he can marry, bury, serve communion, do everything a pastor can do. You could lead your own church with a district license. That would be a thing.
That's scary to think about. Scary.
It's okay. It's okay. And what we're grateful for is that you are here on a part-time basis serving mm-hmm. in with our Route 56 ministry. That started 2 years ago as well. Yeah. So I just wanted to give you space to introduce Route 56 to the people here at Worcester NAS. Talk a little bit about that, maybe where it started and where you guys are at right now and some of the things that you're loving.
Yeah, so this actually started also in 2024, you know, beginning of that school year, about September time. And, you know, it kind of really came out of nowhere from my perspective. You know, there was talks within the church that I wasn't, you know, really a part of. And I remember at... me and Pastor Joel went out to Global Leadership Summit in Chicago area. And while we were out there, he was like, so we have this, you know, opportunity you might be interested in. And I was like, probably not, because I don't want to work with preteens. That was never really on my agenda. But, you know, I was like, man, I've been praying for, you know, some sort of position in the church. It was volunteer at first.
Right.
And I was like, you know, God, we're just going to go ahead and go with it. I was like, if they offer it to me, like, officially, I was like, I'm going to take it, but I'm going to leave that up to you. And I talked to Pastor Jeremy, you know, the following week, maybe the same week, I can't remember. And you know, he asked me a lot of the same questions. And I was like, well, if you're talking to me about it also, there might be something here. Yeah. And then I officially got offered the position. And I was like, all right, God, we're going to go for it. And just so grateful for even that first week. I remember our first week, we had like 30 kids. And I was like expecting like, you know, like 10, 15. But Route 56 is just about all these fifth and sixth grade preteens that, you know, are in a crazy time. They're, you know, they're a little old for being in kids ministry, but they're a little young for being in, you know, our high school ministry right. or our Thrive area. And so just having that special space for them to be able to, you know, just learn those things that, you know, are so important at that age. It's a crazy time. I remember
it is,
you know, really that's where my life started, you know, really giving into sin is just those preteen years where, you know, there was, you know, looking at things I shouldn't have been looking at, you know, saying things I shouldn't have been saying, thinking things I shouldn't be thinking. And, you know, a lot of it was because, you know, I wasn't really sold out to Jesus at that time in my life. Right. I had accepted Jesus in sixth grade, but it was like a one-time decision. And then I was like, well, we did it. We did the thing. We're good now. And so now, you know, Route 56 is just being about on this journey together. I showed them one of the scenes from the movie Cars, and I can't remember which one even, but just about Route 66, Route 56. Pretty good.
I love it.
Yeah.
And just some of the behind the scenes that you didn't see, we sensed the same things you're talking about. There were kids that were in fifth grade that just, they were starting to feel too big for kids' church.
Yeah.
And so we had some small things going off to the side for them where they'd come out of big church and have a big kids' church and have their own thing. Mm-hmm. And we had some very, very committed, solid volunteers and just didn't have anybody that wanted to step to the point for leading a fifth and sixth grade ministry. And you're right. Initially, when we thought about it and we talk about it, you're like, I don't want to lead preteens. I mean, honestly, it can be a very awkward stage for kids, and they're learning who they are and they're going through a lot of stuff. And some of them are very serious and some of them don't have a serious thought in their head.
Exactly.
And some of them are really mature and some of them have a lot of maturing to do.
Exactly. And, absolutely.
That is challenging for any leader. It is challenging for anyone that steps into middle school ministry or anything like that. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And mm-hmm. it's tough to get good volunteers. It's tougher to get somebody that's going to commit to leading kids through it. Mm-hmm. I do want to say what you're doing is so critical in the spiritual development of preteens in our church. One of the ways this connects back to what we're talking about in Family Strong, something that Pastor was honing in on big time was getting connected to a life-giving church family. And the importance of that and why that's important. And sometimes when you're in kids' church, you're showing up with your parents, right?
Yeah.
And you're in church because your parents are in church. And there are increasingly kids that are showing up and then bringing their parents. So I don't know who's bringing who,
but
you're riding in your parents' vehicle when you get here. And Route 56 is one of the first times that preteens are starting to consider, where do I belong?
Yeah.
In the body of Christ. And they're starting to come into their own enough to know, okay, I'm starting to see some of my gifts, some of my talents. Maybe I'm starting to see where I fit in classrooms and that kind of thing. And it's very formational in a lot of their spaces. And I love what you're doing, just talking to them on their level and integrating them into the life of the church. And just helping them find a place in the family of God.
Yeah.
We don't believe that there's a junior Holy Spirit, that when these kids yep. start to encounter God, that they're somehow getting a little bit of him or, you know, a smaller version of him. No, they're experiencing the real living, breathing Jesus and Holy Spirit coming in and filling their lives. And I don't know. Have you seen that transformation in kids? Have you, what are you seeing from your perspective? What are some ways that you see them just connecting with the family of God?
Yeah. So I think it's funny. Just think about, you know, they don't get Jesus Jr. You know, right. That's not a thing.
Right.
And even at my age, when I was that age, I thought, you know, that kind of was what we got,
right.
You know, and there was never something somebody told me that made me think that, but no. just my personal mindset that I had. And so even now we're about to go on our 2026 NCO preteen retreat, basically our district preteen retreat. It's going to be a great time. But last year, you know, I had some questions. I was like, man, they don't take anything serious. I was like, am I doing a terrible job?
You start to feel that as a yes, leader. Sometimes.
I was like, I must be the worst thing ever. But we
when
went up
you
to this
lose
retreat.
Half the room. You forget yes. that half the room is still with you.
Yes. Yes. And we went up to this retreat, and I remember just seeing the way the kids worshiped, seeing them interact with all these other students that, you know, they'd never seen before.
Right.
And just breaking down and crying at the one night out there. And I'm sure it'll be the same thing this coming weekend. I think we took 15 last year. We have 21 signed up this year. And so seeing that increase and so many of those kids are repeats this year. Yeah. And I'm just so excited to see how they continue to grow in leadership and seeing that Holy Spirit live out in them.
You have kids right now that are in the sixth grade year.
Yeah.
And they would have come in at the very beginning of Route 56. They were the young fifth graders coming in and something brand new being created for them. And now they've been in your ministry for 2 years.
Yeah.
I love that. I love to
yeah,
see the development there and them going deeper in worship. During Pastor's message on Sunday, he called Pastor Joel up and had him share a story. Did you note what grade Joel was in when he had that
was
transition
in
his life? He was in fifth grade.
Yeah, fifth yeah. grade.
So in mm-hmm. fifth grade, he moved schools, which fairly common for a lot of our middle schoolers. They're either moving a building. School districts have increasingly consolidated right around that junior high range. And
yeah.
so they're moving to a different building. Different friend groups get all mixed up and things like that. Was there anything about that story that stood out to you? And I don't know, just, it was a quick aside, but I was like, this is right in Colton's wheelhouse.
Yeah. So. I mean, I see that often in kids where, you know, they kind of come into an area and if they're the new kid, just sitting there thinking, man, I hope somebody greets them because it's so much cooler if one of those kids goes and greets
right.
them
Isn't
versus me. Because as great as I am, obviously, no, totally joking, but
you're so good at greeting.
Yeah.
No, you are.
No,
you are.
But it's not nearly as cool if I go and do it. It doesn't mean right. nearly as much versus where if one of those students goes and does it, man, it makes their whole day, month, year, you know, it changes the lives sometimes. You know, that's what happened with me getting invited to this church.
Yeah.
You know, we had gone to a different church and, you know, we'd go, we were involved a little bit, but I never felt like I really connected with anybody. Even now, you know, we went there until I was probably about 12 years old.
Okay.
And, you know, I don't remember any kids' names. I remember wow. one girl cause I worked with her down the road and we was like, do I know you from somewhere? But you know, other than that, I don't remember hardly yeah. anybody, but coming here when I was 8 years old with Pastor Nathan, the grandson, Dylan, just, you know, changed my life and took me years to get my family to start coming here with me. And once we did, man, it changed our lives too. And yeah. so just having a, you know, not exactly the same, but a similar story, just, you know, belonging and then, you know, coming to the Father.
And that was Joel's story. There was, for those of you that may have missed Sunday sermon, he just said he was in a new place, new school. And some new friends just came up and said, why don't you sit with us?
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about that all the time about scooting over and making room for others that are coming in behind us, not thinking that this is all about us. And that's a family of God mentality. We're inviting others into something that we're already a part of and saying, why don't I scoot over and make room? But Pastor was talking about the platinum role, not only do for others what you want them to do for you, but go above yeah. and beyond that. And that whole, why don't you come with me? Come sit with me, come to this thing with me. You know, I think that is going to unlock so much for so many people mm-hmm. that are brand new.
Yeah. 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 I think it's just so important for us to not just say, hey, like go talk to them over there, but hey, follow me. Let's go talk to, right. you know, whoever it is.
And Debbie, not, Sue, there's a space for you over there somewhere. There's a space for you here.
Yeah. Right by here. Me. Yeah. Like, yeah. Making room.
Yeah.
I can remember growing up in formerly Heart Check, now Thrive. But I can remember, you know, physically on Sunday mornings, like filling those first three rows and like we'd have like three people in a seat, you know, we'd be cramming way too many people in there. But that was, you know, that was just what we did. It was the atmosphere was, you know, really living out that more to come. We're going to make room, even if it's, right. there's not room, we're going to make it somehow. We're going to find a way.
Yeah.
And so just, you know, just always praying that, you know, we continue to do that, continue to make that room, you know, each and every Sunday.
Yeah. And encouraging people to come alongside of us. One of the things that Pastor was talking about is we've got to get rid of rows and, mm-hmm. you know, start to gather around tables and that kind of thing more. How are you guys doing gathering with the fifth and sixth graders? Is that something that you've seen them doing, not just sitting in a row where they're learning, but actually grouping up and gathering up?
Yeah. So doing small groups on, you know, each and every Sunday, I think that's so important. They're not just going to sit and, you know, listen to me, you know, chit chat for 30 minutes or whatever, but, you know, we're going to have a sermon and then we're going to break off into our small groups. And, you know, it's not anything goes in there, but, you know, having that vulnerable space where if there's something on somebody's heart, they can share that. And we've had some deep talks,
right.
you know, we see all sorts of hurt in these kids. And so just having those opportunities where, you know, they can share these deep things. You know, we're not just going to sit in rows and nobody talk to nobody, but, you know, just finding that proper space where, you know, we can give that outlet to be able to talk, be able yeah. to just dig deep.
I was talking to one of our teenagers. We do small groups in the student ministries,
yeah.
in the high school and middle school student ministries. And they were trying to get the concept of what was supposed to be happening during groups. Cause some people want it to be serious, like a Bible study.
Yeah.
And some people just think it's a place like free time. We're just going to go and free think together. And what I was trying to challenge them is that small group is like Dr. Pepper. There's 23 flavors.
Yep.
We're going to add them all in. And yeah. the result is beautiful because you get a little bit from everybody and we all mm-hmm. share. And even if what they're sharing is off the wall, it gives you a window into what they're thinking
yeah.
this week, or it gives you an idea of how they were processing through the lesson. Even if they're like, he said something about dinosaurs and that's yeah. all I could think about, you know,
all sorts of craziness. Yeah.
You know how kids are, but I was just telling them, I'm like, if you go into small group and you're expecting, you know, you're expecting Sprite and what you're getting is Dr. Pepper, you might be disappointed.
I would be.
And small group is Dr. Pepper. It's 23 flavors yeah. in one. And it's not that anybody's flavor is more important than others, but, and your flavor is not supposed to override everybody else's. So I was like, is anybody being mean to you or telling you that you can't, you know, mm-hmm. participate, or do you feel free to add your flavor to it and that kind of thing? Cause that's yeah. very important.
Absolutely.
In small groups yeah. in student ministry. So
yeah, just making sure, you know, everybody's able to share. I try to make sure that it's not just one person dominating the conversation
right.
because, you know, I know these kids have things to say. And at the same time, it's not just one person, you know, some weeks we can have, you know, 10, 15 kids in a group. And yeah. you get that many preteens, it's craziness. Very loud, very crazy. But I try not, you know, whenever we get in those small groups, I try to just, you know, let it ride. Because, you know, I know at this age, not everything's going to be serious. I know that's a crazy thought.
Yeah.
But yeah,
it might help adult small groups too. Yeah. And one of the things I challenge our high school and middle school groups is, hey, if you have a tendency to speak up, small groups is a place where you kind of hold back.
Yeah.
And let other people get theirs out. yours.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Just hold back for a little bit. And if you have a tendency to not speak up and just let everybody else go, small groups is a place where you need to especially dive in and say what's on your heart and on your mind. So
yeah,
I'm challenging people in both directions.
Yeah.
And I think that works for adults too.
Yeah, it's got to be a two-way street. You know, you got to be able to share. I think that's very important that we be vulnerable and at the same time, not dominating every conversation, but being able to listen and give feedback whenever that time comes. It's just so valuable, you know, as the body of Christ, being able to be there for our family. That's really what we are. We're talking about family strong and being there for, you know, if we're in preteen, our preteen brothers and sisters and our Thrive brothers, sisters, whatever the case is. But it's just so important that we have that time.
I loved Pastor's example. He's talking about building a fire and how when you kick the coals apart and they just go flying everywhere, they cool off really quick.
Yeah.
But bringing them all together, they heat up, and especially if you stack them up, you know, they all heat up really well, and you can start a brand new fire right on top of that.
Yeah.
Have you seen that with kids where they feel a little isolated, off on their own, and what is the best way to kind of bring people together just over the last 2 years that you've been?
Yeah, you know, there's definitely times where I've seen, you know, kids isolate themselves, and Pastor talked about that, how, you know, isolation kills us. You know, it's that, you know, spiritual, you know, pill that hurts us.
Yeah.
And so just really being able to, you know, connect. I think these bigger events that we go on does really help people get, you know, really acclimated to each other. I think that's so important. You know,
you're talking about events where you guys are all coming together. Real quick, Pastor said isolation weakens faith, community strengthens it.
That's what it was. I know I didn't have the words right, but something it's okay. like that.
That's totally fine. That's why I wrote it down. But in your events, you're gathering, right? You're all gathering together, but you're seeing people getting linked up in community.
Mm-hmm.
Is that just because of the longer periods of time you're spending together at a retreat, or what would you say leads to that?
I think we've talked about it before, but to get quality time, we need to have quantity time.
Yes.
And, you know, 52 hours out of the year where we're just, you know, half the time we're in rows, half the time we're in small groups, that's good and all, but we need that extended time where, you know, over the course of summer camp, we're together longer than in a whole year. We're together, you know, 96 hours. This weekend we'll be together like 72 hours, whatever it is. And so just in that short time, we're already together more than we would be the rest of the year. Yeah. And so in that time, you get to grow so much more than you ever would. And I see, you know, the students that I see are the most involved, the most, you know, well acclimated to each other are the ones that get involved in those, you know, those extended events, whether it's us going to Urban Air or bowling, going to serve Acres of Fun, picking up leaves in like a cold day, having to eat pizza outside because it was, you know, cold outside that day. And, you know, just all sorts of craziness. But you go through those hard things together. You go through those fun things together, those, you know, sad times, whatever it is, it just automatically brings people closer.
Yeah. And it might not sound very spiritual, eating pizza or carrying on the way teens or preteens do, but that extended time together is where the meaningful connections are built that help you feel like you're a part of a family. It's like that whole family table where we're all sitting around just sharing a meal together and extended time. Pastor was talking about savoring that time together and how meaningful that can be. And what you're doing to help cultivate those relationships is phenomenal.
I appreciate that.
And I would just challenge us as we're continuing through the Family Strong thing. This, we've talked a lot about preteens in here, but all of this applies to older people and even much younger people and all of that. We are the body of Christ. We are a family of God. And we are all around a common table, and we need to help people find their place at that table right beside us and spend that quality time together. So I just want to thank you for your leadership, for the way that you do it, the consistency with which you do it, and for taking taking on leadership. Somebody once told me, if you want responsibility, take responsibility.
Yeah.
And it was a responsible position that you were asked to be a part of, and you took it and you've owned it and you've done such an incredible job. And to everyone else out there, Colton, if there's something that I need to teach him or coach him on or whatever, you're the quickest learner. You pick things up so well, and you don't have to be told twice, any of that stuff. You just, mm-hmm. you adapt to the situations really well. And I just want to commend you as a leader to our people, to anyone that doesn't know you yet. Come put an arm around Colton, get to know him. He's one of my favorite leaders here at Worcester Nest.
Yeah. So.
Thank you for spending time with us today. Hope all of you guys are enjoying this series as we go through 21 Jumpstart, talking about family strong and talking about just being a part of God's family, being a part of a family of believers and what it means in the long haul. So thank you all for joining us. We'll catch you again next week.